I know, I'm pumping it up like I got something amazing to say. Well, hopefully God has something to say through me, right? So this morning, man, we are going to hop into the Word of God, and I'll give you my sermon title in advance, all right? So this week, I've just been preparing, and I got asked to preach by Pastor Michael Monday, and so I came across this text in the Bible, and it just led me to believe that I should share the message on season of preparation. Season of preparation is the title of my sermon this morning. So if we're being honest, I believe we all have been in a place where we have asked the question, what is happening in my life right now? Why am I going through this? Why must I experience what I am experiencing right now? And up to this point in our lives, I mean, I'm sure some of us have had some pretty awesome experiences, right? But we've also had some tough times. We have had some bumps in the road. We've had some difficult situations that we have experienced. And those experiences that we have encountered up to this point have been unique to us personally. But as you have gone through those seasons of life, have you ever stopped and thought and asked the question, maybe God is preparing me for something with this? Usually that's not our normal phrase of thought. Our normal response is, God, why? Why this? Why now? Why am I going through this? But maybe what you have been going through, what you've been experiencing, has been a season of preparation. See, our lives are a part of a bigger story. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life is a part of a bigger story? Because I truly do believe that all of us, our lives are a part of a bigger story. But sometimes I don't like those seasons of preparation. Do I always like the way that God works and operates in my life? No. And most of us in this room would be honest and say, hey, sometimes the way that God answers my prayer or sometimes the way that God is moving in my life, I really don't like this right now. But I love what King David says, because as I was saying, like, I feel like my life, my story is a part of something bigger. It's bigger of a part of story. And the reality is that my life, your life does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And so I love what King David shares in Psalms 139:16. It says this. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God was already preparing the days of my life before I was even formed and walking on the face of the earth. And we are all familiar with Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. So understand, sometimes the season of life we are in is a season of preparation. Life experiences are never wasted. God could use our sin. God can use that difficult situation we find ourselves in. God can use the mishaps in our life to turn it all into good. And I think sometimes as we journey through life and we reflect back on some of the things and some of the life experiences that we have encountered, we're like, man, how can God use this? How can God use that part of my life? How was God preparing me for something bigger than myself? Like, it doesn't make sense. But God can turn it all around for your good and his glory. So today we're going to look at a familiar story, a life about an individual in the Bible, but we're going to look at it from a different way. And I hope that you guys have spent time studying the Word of God on your own and that Sunday or Wednesdays aren't just your quick fix, because as we dig into Scripture, man, I feel like there is this so much good stuff in there. Like, I mean, like, really, really good stuff in the Bible. You guys read your Bible? So you know there's a lot of good stuff in there, right? There's a lot of good life lessons and skills and things to help us along our journey, right? And so as I was reading this story in the Bible, it just truly spoke to my heart, man. It resonated with my story up to this point in my life. And I was like, man, this is really speaking volumes to me right now. And so as we go ahead and go journey through the Bible, as you guys read your word, pray and ask for the Holy Spirit just to reveal God's truth to you. Right? That's what I try to do. Every time I open up the Bible, I say, God, may your Holy Spirit reveal your truth to me so that it jumps off the pages at me so that I can connect with it, so that I can know what it is that you're trying to show me. And so we're going to visit a familiar story in the Old Testament, but I'm going to use some of the New Testament to preach about the Old Testament. And so we're going to visit a familiar story about the life of Moses. We're all familiar with the life of Moses, right? Everybody's familiar with the life of Moses? All right, I hope so. So, the life of Moses, we know that God appeared to Moses in the desert in the flames of a burning bush near Mount Sinai, and he called out to Moses to lead the Israelites out of captivity, right? He went on and he led them out of captivity, parted the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, the Ten Commandments, and so on and so forth. That's not the part of Moses' story that we're going to look at today. We've all heard that story before. And so we're going to look at a different part of Moses' story. We're going to journey back to prior to post-amazing Moses that we all know of, right? The season of preparation that Moses goes through. But before we get into that, I just want to kind of give you a recap of what's happening in Egypt at this time. And so we know that the Israelites had found favor because of Joseph in Genesis. They had found favor with Pharaoh. Things were going good. They were, you know, Pharaoh-like people. But then this new Pharaoh comes in, and he's like, hey, these people are getting too numerous. And I don't like them, and I don't like how large and how vast they are becoming. And so instead of trying to, like, outcast these people because he was fearful that they would partner up with some of their other enemies out in the outskirts and then come against them, he decides, hey, I'm going to begin to get rid of these Hebrew men, try to stop them from having this opportunity to continue to grow and vastly. And so he comes up with this decree, and he tells the Hebrew midwives, he says, hey, anytime that you're giving birth or helping a woman give birth and it comes out to be a boy, I want you to kill that child. I want you to end his life. But because the Hebrew women were so fearful of the God that they knew, it's like, oh, well, we can't do this. So they didn't do that. And so the king came and he said, hey, why didn't you listen to me? And they expressed, like, hey, the God that we serve, I can't listen to this command. So then he goes on, he tells them, all right, well, I want you to throw every child in the Nile, in the river. And we're going to get rid of them that way. And so for a season, we had some of the Hebrew people began to cave into the Egyptians' requests. But then there was this one family, a Levite household, which we know of Moses' dad as a Levite and his mom. And so we're going to pick it up right there real fast. But I'm not reading from Exodus. I'm actually going to read from Acts chapter. If you have a short attention span, sorry. Try to stick with me. All right. Here we go. So Acts chapter 7, verse 20 is where we're starting. So Acts chapter 7, verse 20. So it says, at this time, and I'm reading ESV, so it may sound a little bit different. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, are you brothers? Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel had appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And Moses trembled and did not dare look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. And so, reason why I said I wanted to share the story is because What we fail to realize is that, man, when we read the Bible and we kind of read about some of the individuals in the Bible and what God had called them to do and what they had accomplished, we fail to realize that they had to go through a season of preparation. And so I resonate so much with the story of Moses because as I think about my own journey, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't attend church. I had nothing to do with Jesus. But what really struck me in this story was this season of as what God was calling Moses into, Moses didn't feel equipped. Moses didn't feel prepared for it. And the same thing happened to me prior to me becoming the pastor here or on staff here. And so let me explain to you about my story a little bit. And so when I first was in the community of Bedford, it was in the season of life that I was excited. I was serving with Youth for Christ. So I was like, yes, man, I'm in a community of Bedford. I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying, loving, and working with these kids. And then I went on and I transitioned from the Youth for Christ to this organization called the Mentoring Network. And I became this director of the overall program. And I was responsible for this and responsible for that. And then all of a sudden, all that came to a halt. And I was no longer part of that organization. Things weren't working out. And then I left ministry altogether. I was like, man, my time and my season in Bedford is over. Never going back to that place. Not that God's done using me there. And so I got a job working at the post office. And so I went through the season where I was working at the post office. And some of you guys have heard this story. And I worked at the post office for a little more than a year. And it was probably the worst job I've ever had in my life. If you're a postal worker, no offense to you. All right, but there was this, it was a very unique and dark place. And I worked downtown at the plant, so I was responsible for processing the mail, getting it through the machines so that it would get out to the postal stations and then get delivered by there. And it was just, man, it was a wearisome time in my life. Like, I felt far from God. The schedule that I was working, I couldn't go to church on Sunday mornings, you know, but I was still trying to lead a Wednesday night teen ministry. And so my life was just very, very, like, dreaded. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Mike reaches out to me because he was one of my volunteers with the Mentoring Network when I was running the mentoring program in the middle school. And he calls me up and he says, hey, you want to grab lunch? And I'm like, sure. It's been a while. We're friends. I haven't talked in a while. And so we had lunch and he's like, hey, do you feel like you're doing what you're called to do? And I was like, absolutely not. I hate my job, right? And so I get the invitation to come in. And as a search committee, meet with the search committee. And then all of a sudden, it happens probably about two nights before, I call Pastor Mike and I was like, I'm being honest and vulnerable here with you all, okay? So I call, Pastor Mike calls, hey, you ready to go? And I was like, I think I'm going to bow out. I don't think I want to come in for the search committee. I don't know that this is for me. My season of ministry in Bedford is over. I have this great job. I mean, it was a great job because it was financial stability. I had retirement. I had benefits. I had, you know, 401k, profit sharing. All that stuff was going to pay off in 40 years whenever I retire from there, right? My wife was like, hey, you got a stable job now. You know, you're no longer in ministry. You know, fundraising, all that kind of stuff. And so it was that season where I was like, you know, I'm just going to bow out. I'm going to bow out because, you know, one, fear. Fear of failure. Man, what if I come here and I'm just terrible at this? Two, disappointment. My wife was like, no, you got a good job. You got stability. You need to stay at the post office. And so my prayer was like, God, man, if you want me to go through with this, then I need you to soften my wife's heart. I can manage the fear thing, but I need you to soften my wife's heart. And what stood out to me was, Rachel, after I prayed, probably a couple days later, so we went in, he's like, just come in and just meet with us. All right. I was like, fine, I'll come. But I already had it in my mind, I'm not coming here, but I'll just come, right? And so probably a couple days had went by, maybe a week went by, and my wife, we were driving in a car, and my prayer was like, God, you got to change my wife's heart. And we're driving, and she's like, hey, you know what? I've been praying too. And she's like, maybe God has been preparing you for this. I was like, oh, that's confirmation. All right, well, let's keep on moving, right? Because she took a second, and she thought, she's like, all right, well, you started with Youth for Christ. You've been volunteering as a youth leader. Then you started working with the Mentoring Network, and you became a director over a ministry where you were responsible for other people, young lives, leaders, volunteers. And then you went and worked at the post office where you had to deal with some crazy people. Not that any of you guys are crazy. You're wonderful. I love you all. But the idea of having to manage and deal and work with different people. right? And so my wife was like, maybe everything that you've been doing up to this point was this season of preparation to prepare you for what God is calling you into now. And so the same thing is so true. As I was reading Moses' story, I had never put the two together. I had never stopped to think about the season of preparation that Moses had to go through in order to be prepared for what God was calling him to do. And so if you think about it, I love how sometimes in our lives we don't realize what we're going through, we don't realize the seasons that we're in, but God's providence is over our lives. God's providence. So look at Moses' story, right? And if you look at Exodus, it gives you a little bit more detailed account. But if we look at Moses' story, originally he wasn't even supposed to be alive, right? They were supposed to throw him in the Nile River, but his mom had faith in Jesus. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to keep him secret for 3 months. Then I'm going to put him in a basket, and I'm going to put him by the river because I know that the princess goes by there, Pharaoh's daughter goes by there, and she bathes there. Right, so hopefully she'll see him. But if you look at Exodus, and I'm not going to turn to Exodus, but if you look at Exodus, this is what happens. So God's providence on Moses' life. Moses is fed by his mom for 3 months. Then he's hidden in a basket by the Nile where Pharaoh's daughter is. And then what happens is that Pharaoh's daughter's bathing. Oh, she sees this beautiful little baby. Oh, my goodness. Then Moses' sister is there on scene. And she comes in. She's like, hey, would you like me to take this Hebrew baby to a mother and take care of it for you? And so then Pharaoh's daughter's like, sure, that'd be great. And matter of fact, I'll pay you to take care of this child, right? And so not only is his own mother getting paid to take care of, I mean, how awesome, I wish I got paid to take care of my kids. But not only is his own mother getting paid to take care of her own child, but then he grows in stature. And then what happens is Moses goes in under the care of Pharaoh, and he learns all these things in the education. Like, he learns how to be this amazing leader. God's providence was over Moses. And so Moses is being prepared. He's prepared for leadership under the Egyptian leadership, right? He's learning how to be a leader. He's gaining the greatest education. He's exposed to all these things. And then what happens is that Moses, his name is given to him by his mother. And because he knows his name, well, he has a connection to his Hebrew roots. And so we learn, if we look at it, it says that, let me find my verse here. So when he was 40 years old, this is Acts 7:23, it says, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. So God began to stir in his heart his desire for his people. And so we see that Moses is like, all right, well, I'm going to go check on my people. And he sees that one of his people that he was born from is being physically wronged. And so then what happens is that Moses steps in and he ends up killing a man. Now, Moses escapes death again, because as soon as he killed that man, he fled to Midian because Pharaoh was like, hey, I'm about to kill you. You didn't have my permission to go and do what you did. And so once again, we see Moses, God's hand on Moses, like, as he flees and he goes to the Midian desert. And so we see this happen, that God has this way of preparing, or God's hand is on our lives, even when we don't realize it. And so that's the one thing that I picked up from this, is that God's providence from the beginning of Moses' life. God has providence in your life. God's hand is on your life even when you don't realize it or you don't see it. God is at work doing things behind the scenes and setting up opportunities for you that you don't even realize are there. So God is a provident God. God is at work. Be patient and wait for God's timing. We need to be patient and wait on God's timing. See, what happened in this situation is we see that Moses goes out and he kills this man and he's trying to save his people already, but it wasn't his timing yet. He acted on his own strength, not on the leading of God. And so we found out after he kills this Egyptian, he strikes him dead, he supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? See, not only was Moses' timing off because he acted before God had kind of given him that commission to go and save his people, but then his own people rejected him. Sometimes the people that we're trying to help and serve when it's not God's timing will reject what it is that we're trying to offer them. See, Moses had to go through this season of preparation. So we have to make sure that we are patient and waiting on God's time. Another point for you guys, trust in the disciplines that God is trying to develop in your life. Trust in the disciplines that God is trying to develop in your life. So think about this. So Moses went out, he kills him, he goes, he flees to the desert. But even while he's in the desert, he comes across these seven daughters, and these seven daughters are trying to get well, and then these shepherds are like bullying a girl. So Moses steps in, right? He's a hero again. And so he ends up getting married to the Jethro's daughter, right? And then in the season, Moses spends 40 years in the wilderness. He becomes a shepherd himself. And he spends these 40 years in the wilderness. This once again goes to being patient and waiting for God's timing. Not many of us could wait 40 years for God to show up and do what we're asking him to do, right? So we have to trust in the way that God is disciplining us and preparing us for what it is that he's calling us to do. Because if we don't realize, check this out. So Moses is in the Midian Desert, 40 years, shepherding, taking care of sheep, learning the lay of land, having to deal with harsh conditions. The life of a shepherd was very, very difficult. And so when we look at the story, when God finally calls Moses back into the midst of things, he goes and he grabs the Israelites from Egypt. And where does he take him back to? Where does Moses take the Israelites back into? Take a guess. I'm waiting for you. Where does he lead them to? Where does he lead them through? The desert. The wilderness. The desert, right? And so Moses spent 40 years preparing in the harsh conditions of the wilderness and the desert for a group of people, 600,000 men, not including women and children. If you study the text, 600,000 men, not including women and children, into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. And where did they spend? 40 years in the wilderness. Season of preparation. Moses had no idea that his time away, spending that time in the Midian desert, was going to prepare him for what God was calling them to do, to lead these people out of captivity into the wilderness and to be able to survive and sustain life. He had to care for sheep and mend for them and lead them and guide them. And Moses had to do the exact same thing with the Israelite people. A season of preparation. Last, stop saying no to God. Hard, right? Stop saying no to God. We are called to be obedient. It is sometimes hard to believe that God would have a desire to use me, you, us, but he does. And while we may feel inadequate, unqualified, not good enough, lacking in knowledge, if we truly trust and believe God and just say yes, God will work out the details or send us a helper like Aaron was to Moses. We have to trust God and stop saying no to what he's calling us to do. As I told you guys in my story, I was trying to tell God no. I was truly trying to tell God no to what he had planned for me or to what he was calling me to do. And had I said no, will my life be where it is today? I probably wouldn't be here. I'd probably still be miserable working at the post office, right? Or doing something else because I probably wouldn't have lasted. I was like, I can't take this. I got to do something else with my life. But what we see in Moses' life is after he made all excuses, so after you guys are done making all of your excuses, right, stop saying no to God and begin to say yes. Begin to say yes and trust the process. And so, like, I don't know where everybody is at in the room this morning. I don't know what season of life you're in. I don't know what season of life you've been in. But oftentimes, as we journey through life, there are seasons of preparation that God is preparing us for something bigger than ourselves. So maybe that past hurt, maybe that past pain, maybe the situation, the storm that you're in right now, he's like, God, I don't know how you're going to use what I'm going through right now, but he will. But he will. If we look back, what does it say in Romans 8:28? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. God knows what he's calling you to, and he knows exactly what you need in order to get there. And so as we go through seasons of life, as we're struggling with the pain or the frustration of things not working out the way that we want them to, we have to trust and believe that maybe this is a season of preparation for something bigger that God is calling me to. Maybe this hurt is to help prepare me for something bigger or for somebody else that God wants me to encounter in my life. Seasons of preparation. And so as you reflect back on your life, can you maybe stop and think, man, what would have been some turning points in your journey? God tells us to remember those things. For Moses, some of his turning points was, hey, Pharaoh's daughter took him in. That's a turning point in his life. He stepped in and killed her. That's a turning point in his life. He went out to the Midian desert. That's a turning point in his life. God showed up as flames in the bush. Turning point in his life. We have all had those turning points in our life. And so it's important that we reflect and recall those turning points, because those have been seasons of preparation that God had been doing something in our life to help prepare us for something he's calling us to do. And maybe God hasn't called you what he's been preparing. Maybe something that you've gone through, you haven't used that yet, or God hasn't used that yet in your life. There's a good chance he may in the future. Seasons of preparation. And I want you guys to take a second and think about, how is God working in your life through your current situation? Maybe you're in a tough spot right now, but maybe stop asking the question, why, and begin to say, hey, God, maybe, how are you preparing me for something? Is this a season of preparation for me, God? Or are you preparing me to do something? And it may not be something huge, right? Some of us are not going to get called to lead 600,000 people to something, right? Some of us are not going to get called to come up front and preach or do a different type of ministry. It could be something small. As to speaking the gospel or the truth in somebody's life. It could be going to help out a certain organization do things a different way. It could be at your current job where you're good with business numbers and you're able to help accounts switch around. There are things in our life that are seasons of preparation that God is preparing us to do something bigger with our life. And it may not seem like significant to you, but it's significant to God's kingdom. And so I want you guys to always be in a season of preparedness. And so I want to tell you a quick story. And you guys have probably all heard this story before. I've heard it on several occasions. But it's a story of two men, and they're woodcutters, right? They're like the best of the best, and they go at it over and over again. And this guy named Peter and John, all right? And so they're going at it over and over again. So it's like, you know what? We need to determine who's the best. We need to determine who's the best. And so the next day, they go out, and they have a tree chopping down competition, right? Whoever gathers the most wood, and they're just using axes. Whoever gathers the most wood is the victorious one. And so Peter and John, they go at it. They're chopping. And then all of a sudden, John hears, like, it's quiet. Peter's no longer working. And so he's like, oh, this dude is taking a break. He's wearing out already. I'm going to keep going. And so, you know, John keeps going. He's whacking away. And then, again, he hears Peter stop. And Peter stops for about 15 minutes every time. And so every hour on hour, Peter stopping 15 minutes. And so then he goes on again. He's going at it. He's like, man, I'm definitely going to win this. This dude keeps stopping way too much. And so at the end of the day, they come, they gather all their wood, and guess who chopped the most wood? Peter. John consistently worked, but what Peter did is Peter stopped. And for 15 minutes, it was kind of his rest break, but what he was doing is he was sharpening his axe. He stopped and he sharpened his axe so that it would maintain its sharpness so that he can cut down more wood and be more consistent. And so as we're going through life, when we're going through struggles, we could be whacking away, going really hard, just continue to chip away, saying, I'll figure it out. I'll keep going. But we need to stop and pause and make sure that we're sharpening our axes, sharpening our spirits, sharpening our minds, sharpening our connection with the Word and with God. Seasons of preparation. Are you taking time to pause and sharpen your tools? And so that's my challenge. I know sometimes when we pick up the Word of God, man, we have oversight or we miss, but it's so cool that as we read and study the Word of God, God begins to reveal his truths. And it may be a truth that we need in that season of life. And so whatever season you're in right now, whatever it is that you may be going through, whatever it is that you may be facing, I want you to understand that maybe this is a season of preparation. And it's important that we stop and pause and reflect and seek out God, like, God, this is hard. Maybe it's hard for you. This is hard. And I don't know what you're preparing me for. I don't know what you're calling me to. But God, I need you. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to help me through this season of life. Help me prepare. Help me to see what it is that you want me to do. And help me to say yes to what it is that you're calling me to do. Because it's so easy to say no. It's so easy to say no. And so, trust in God's providence over your life. Know that God is at work doing things before you even realize it. Be patient and wait on God's timing. We live in a world where we want it now. I wanted it yesterday, right? But sometimes when God is calling us to something, we need to be patient and wait on God's timing. Trust in the disciplines and the discipline that God is doing in our lives, right? Trust that what he's taking us through, trust that what maybe we're experiencing is something that God is using and is going to use in the future. And once again, stop saying no to God. Start saying no to people. Stop saying no to God, right? People distract us. People call us into doing so many other things. But how about if we started saying yes to God and walking out the will and his desires for our life? What difference would that make? So understand, as you're going through storms or as you're going through certain things right now, it could be a season of preparation for something bigger that God is going to call you to. Because your life is not your own, it's God's. Let's pray this morning.